We are joined by Jeff O'Brien. He is an attorney, a barrister, a lawyer extraordinaire, and a Tim Walz lookalike. Now, Jeff, what happened last week? You were misidentified by someone who thought you were Governor Walz getting fuel in Albertville, stopping at the gas station?
So this is not the first time it's happened. I think it's because of my what I call my COVID-38 weight gain. I have the dark frames like Walz does, right? And I've had people before ask me, you look like Tim Walz, or are you Tim Walz?
You're a lot younger than him.
I know, but what does that say about me that they think that? But anyway, so maybe people are just so like enraged by him that they you know, see that. I don't know, but I'm at the gas station, little BP in Albertville, filling up with gas to go to a meeting. I've got, you know, a blazer and a sweater vest and stuff on besides my glasses. Yeah. I had to go inside to get something, and there was a Korean War, or I think, I'm assuming it's a Korean War veteran, because he's wearing a baseball cap that said Korean War veteran on it. And he was filling up at the other pump, and he's walking, kind of looks at me, and he goes, "You aren't Tim Walz, are you?" And I just laughed, and I said, "No, but you're not the first person to say that to me." It's happened like about half a dozen times. I said, and I kind of pointed at my glasses. I said, "I think I need to get new frames, or else I'm going to get punched." And kind of joking with him. And he looks, and he stops, and he says, "Yeah, you might have to, because that could happen." And seemed very concerned for me at this point. And then he muttered something about, he called Tim Walz something name, and then I opened the door for him. He walked in here laughing about it. Yeah. And went our separate ways in his story.
You know,
but yeah, so.
You need to get Walz as that woman who I've interviewed that does his sign language for him and do a video.
Oh, yeah, I should. Or I should just start signing executive orders, undoing his executive orders.
That's
I don't know.
Who would know the difference then? That's funny.
Yeah, yeah. So, but. Yeah, so
Mr. Popularity, Tim Walz.
I know. Well, and I've noticed that in the last. So it's funny. I posted on Twitter and Facebook about this encounter, right?
Yeah.
And you would expect all my conservative Republican friends to be jumping on it, laughing at it, right?
Yep.
But it actually. It was kind of bipartisan. There was some friends of mine from the left that were liking it too. And, you know, he's really had a lot of pushback from his own party since how he handled Brooklyn Center. I'm not saying that that's a bad way how he handled Brooklyn Center, trying to keep the police station from burning down. It was the Stonewall Caucus of the DFL and the Young DFL were already have taken votes of no confidence against him. And the night of the, I don't know if it ever happened because it came down, the Chauvin verdict came down the same day that they were going to take this vote, but the Minneapolis DFL Central Committee was going to take a no confidence vote on Tim Walz. So those of us on the right have not liked him for at least the last year with his COVID lockdowns, but now he's losing the left with the way he's handled some of the police stuff. And it's kind of interesting that I wonder if it's going to be Peggy Flanagan or Keith Ellison running as the DFL nominee for governor next year. If he's going to get some kind of primary challenge from his left.
Do you really think that Keith Ellison could beat him in a primary, or anyone could, because they would be basically abandoning him?
I don't know if Ellison could beat him, but it'll even if he has a primary challenge, that primary fights open up wounds, and they're sometimes hard to heal, especially when you're challenging an incumbent.
Well, and Flanagan, so, Flanagan wouldn't run against them, would she?
If he decides not to run.
Oh, if he decided not to, of course. Okay.
Right. Right. I don't think he would object himself. If somebody announces, you know, if you get one or two Democrats announcing that they're going to run, that's the point where he would just say that he wasn't going to run again.
Interesting. Now, what about the Republican candidate? We still don't know who the final one will be. Mike Lindell has not backed away from saying he's going to run, which would be farcical. Scott Jensen, you told me about some news that came out yesterday about him and Matt Burke and his wife being co-chairs of his education committee, which is, see, I thought Matt Burke was going to be his running mate, and I still think that could happen. I'd still hold out for Wrong About Everything co-host and BS show co-host on Tuesdays, Amy Koch, deciding to throw her hat into the ring, because I think she would be terrific. But do you think Jensen now has a shot with Burke being involved?
I think that people are starting to look at him more seriously. You know, before it was just, you know, he made a name for himself calling out Walls on his COVID science and COVID policy, Jensen being a doctor. But, you know, to have the Burks be involved in education policy, we'll have to see who else gets involved in the campaign, but it's starting to look more and more like a serious effort.
Well, I mean, again, things will heat up over the next few months, because usually it's by summer when you start seeing the people, I mean, a year and some change out when you start seeing the serious contenders starting to throw their hats in. So it will be interesting. Now I have to ask you this, Jeff, because I talked about it earlier. I did not watch a nanosecond of the Oscars. And here's the thing that, to me, I'm a huge movie fan. And the Oscars used to be a big deal to me, you know, not at the level of the Super Bowl, but I used to love watching it. I took a look at not only the winners, but the nominees in the major categories, picture, director, actor, actress, supporting actor, supporting actress. I did not see a single movie in any of those categories, which is, to me, mind-boggling. Yes, it is COVID, but I'm just... did you watch any of the Oscars last night?
No, I did not. But I didn't watch any of the movies we went to last year. We went to the San Michael Cinema drive-in, and we watched pretty much all old movies. I think the most recent movie we watched there was Bohemian Rhapsody. You know, we didn't go see any new movies. They didn't, you know, they didn't play a whole lot of them on. I mean, they were closed inside for most of the year, and they didn't play a lot of current movies outside.
Well, and that's my go-to theater too, but a lot of these movies, I believe, are available on whether it's Netflix or Hulu or HBO Max or any one of the streaming services, which I have most of them, and I just, none of them appeal to me. And I don't know if it's me or movie making, if what they've done differently to basically, I like mainstream movies, I guess, and there's some the smaller ones I like, but nothing there is really that, it just doesn't grab me, so... I just don't know. Yeah. Much like the Twins, it doesn't grab me.
Oh, don't get started on the Twins.
Yeah, no. There's your opening to talk about the. You need the Tony Oliva hitting camp again.
I think if Rocco's got a bat signal to flash to get Tony and Rod Carew down there to figure out what the heck is going on with their bats. I mean, they're just the Bombas aren't bombing. I mean, the only time. I mean, yesterday Nelson Cruz gets a home run with nobody on base. Besides him and Buxton, nobody's hitting the ball.
No.
You know, Kepler's down. Oh, Kepler's out, but before that, he was not hitting. Garver is not hitting. Their bats are anemic this year.
Jeff, let me correct you. They are hitting the wall. Their bats have hit the wall. How's that? All right, Jeff O'Brien, Chestnut Cambrone, thank you so much. We'll chat again, take a quick break, and the BS show will be right back.